You're listening to the Startup Growth Engine. This is a show for small business owners and startup execs looking to hear best practices around profitability, growth, managing a tight budget, developing a tax strategy, turning the corner with a startup, and more. Listen to hear honest conversations with startup experts who've been through it all with a success story to show for it. Let's get into the show.
Hello, and welcome to the Startup Growth Engine podcast, the podcast that interviews the best and brightest from the startup world. I am your co-host, Jeff Benchek from Layton, and I'm really pleased and excited to welcome our special guest, Stephen Radmard, who is the founder of Dill, a unique app that's been created for the restaurant industry. Hey, Stephen. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Hey, Jeff. How's it going?
Going well. So, Stephen, my first question is, how does someone from the automotive and the drivetrain architecture industry get into the restaurant business with a product like Dill?
I've always been a little bit innovative since I was a kid, but also like since I was 15 till the age of 22, like finishing my master's, I've always worked in restaurants. Granted, it was a long time ago, but you know, I've kind of been around the pain points and still have connections within the industry, etc. So it kind of wasn't that far off. I think having been in that environment certainly helped. And you know, it's an industry that's close to heart. I like food. What can I say?
Well, Stephen, I can assure you that you're probably going to be the only podcast episode who worked in the automotive industry on something like Jaguar and then launched a restaurant app. That's just absolutely amazing. Tell us a little bit more about Dill and why is it different relative to the other competitors out there?
It's different in a number of ways. It's mainly a lot more cost effective. You know, tech goes through the cycle of bundling and unbundling, and now restaurant owners, they either have zero tech, at least in the States, they have zero tech, or they have, you know, seven or eight different apps and they don't integrate well, and they have different customer service numbers, and you call each one of them and they blame each other for not integrating well, and they're all recovering their separate customer acquisition costs, which is the main cost here. You know, like making a reservation saying, I'm coming on Monday at 8:30 p.m. That doesn't cost the tech provider that much money in terms of server churn. What they're trying to recover is their customer acquisition costs and their overhead. By bundling that, we've been able to make offerings that are very, very competitive. Or I wouldn't say competitive. I'd say nobody else can compete with us, basically, in terms of pricing. Apart from that, we're going all the way down to the customer. So right now, the customer apps and the sort of restaurant apps are kind of distinct, and they don't, you know, you've got your Yelp and TripAdvisor and Zomato and Google Reviews, and then separately, you've got your Square and your Toast and Revel and whatnot. And yeah, this is another place that we're overlapping the two and basically getting integration so we can get feedback from the customer, but cross-reference it with who the supplier was, who the chef was, who the waiter was, and basically identifying and fixing issues at every stage that they occur. So that's another huge bit. Apart from that, we're hardware independent. You know, we were not like Toast where you have to pay $4,000 up front to get us and, you know, put wires up on your wall and drill holes and stuff like that. You can run it on any device that you've got, Android or iOS, no issues there.
Stephen, I think that was one of the most fascinating things in the conversation we had just before we started here. How much these other providers charge, either on a monthly basis or on a transaction-by-transaction basis, when a patron dines in the restaurant and they book the restaurant, or they book a reservation through one of these platforms. And you had also told me that even if someone books it through the restaurant, like through the restaurant's website, they're still paying a fee to the restaurant. So I think your model is extremely different. Like you say, it's not hardware dependent, and you're really trying to create a more user-friendly solution for an industry that you had told me has razor-thin margins in that 2-3% range, correct?
Yeah, I mean, all restaurant owners know this. Through, like, their cash flow is pretty high, but the margins are pretty slim. the tech costs that they're paying, payment processing in the US is ridiculous. It's, you know, 3% they're paying on average. And so that's actually part of the reason why a lot of our competitors can't break it outside of US is because this payment processing thing, like in Europe, it's capped by the EU to 0.3%. And that's why a lot of our competitors don't enter that market, because their whole business model doesn't revolve around building value. It revolves around basically taking a cut on top of the interchange fees in terms of payment processing. We want restaurants to be profitable, so humans go out and eat. I think social eating, people eating together, that's something very human. You know, it's it's been around since always, and I think with the pandemic really highlighted, you know, no eating out and everybody eating at home. I think we can get back to where we were. And with people outsourcing different tasks, I think cooking is one thing that's getting more and more outsourced, and people will stop cooking at home less and less, unless it's an occasion, basically. Same way, you know, people are using laundry services, or people are, you know, going to gyms, or instead of having a gym at home, et cetera.
Rev works with thousands of businesses each year to maximize financial benefits from R&D tax credits, employee retention credits, and other tax incentives. In the past year, we've helped our clients claim more than $500 million in tax relief to support their future growth. For more information, visit rev.layton.com.
Steven, I know this isn't your first rodeo, that you are part of other startups, actually one that failed. And I'm wondering if you could share, what are some of the key learnings that you took from that failed venture that helps you with your launch of Dill and could be helpful also for our podcast listeners?
So this is the fifth startup that I've been a part of. The first three, I wasn't in a founding role. The last two, I've been in a founding role. The third one, I was kind of in an executive, head of engineering, basically. The first three failed for various different reasons, mainly management related. First one, manager lost focus and had a little erratic lifestyle after, they got some money. And then second one, there was too much internal politics and internal fighting, and the CEO was retiring. So it was a toxic environment, basically. We're working against each other instead of with each other within the company. The third one, it failed because our CEO was a little bit inexperienced and got taken advantage of by other parties, even though our product was amazing. We did great work.
When I think about your model relative to the competition, I think about uniqueness and innovation. How do you instill a culture of innovation with you and your team at Dill?
Leading by example, I guess, is it doesn't sound great when I say it, but leading by example, I think, is one way to go about it. So showing, how we can think differently, and, you don't want untapped innovation, because at some point you're going to end up in the weeds, basically, with, if you want to change everything, right? What if we make the wheel square? You don't need to do that, There has to be, I think if the team is aligned with the vision of the company, then they'll know what's added value and what's just different for the sake of being different. And you don't want to be different for the sake of being different unless it's adding value. Because you can say the vision as a vision statement, and it's not going to land as much as trial and error does for them.
Yeah, I think trial and error also has the potential to really bond and develop a team too. Nobody ever said that an individual like yourself has all of the ideas. And I think if team members they truly believe that their ideas, no matter how ridiculous they might be, are valued, you never know what some sort of idea might ultimately result and come out of an innovation. So I agree with you that fostering and encouraging that creativity is really important. Steven, in closing, are there any words of wisdom based on your experience in the startup world that you can impart to our listeners?
Sure. I wouldn't call it wisdom. Maybe they're more like battle scars, if that makes sense. But so one thing is do and fail. but do. Like, if you don't build a startup by not doing anything, you have to do, fail, pick up yourself again, and do it again, try again, and go forward. It's the only way forward. There's so much you learn by doing that you're not going to learn in an MBA. You're not going to learn in an accelerator program. You learn by doing. So yeah, I encourage everybody that's got ideas and looks at the end of their life and says, okay, I want to have tried something until then, just try now. That's my encouragement. And another thing is, if you're a tech person like myself, ignore that you're a tech person and stop fixing stuff with product solutions. Go back, get customers on a product that you don't have, get letters of intent, etc. Sell what you don't have, sell what you want to build first. So that involves doing your marketing and sales, and then go back and build the thing. Building's easier than selling is.
And Stephen, what is the current status of Dill and the Dill app? I know you have several offshoots of the product, but where are you currently at in the life cycle of the brand and also the app?
Sure. We've launched in New York, where we might launch in a European city soon. Amsterdam, I guess it's not a secret anymore, but yeah, we're launching as we speak. We're also fundraising, not quite yet. We want to get to like maybe 100 restaurants before we start talking to investors about a seed round. But yeah, we're early stage. We're early stage, but yeah, product's built. It's being trialed or in use.
That's exciting. I mean, if you can make it in New York, you can make it anywhere, is what I've been told.
Yeah, that's why I'm here. Yeah. It's not easy. It's not easy, but
it was really great talking to you on the podcast, and I really wish you the best of luck with Dill. I'd like to thank Stephen for joining us from Dill on the Startup Growth Engine podcast. We interview the best and brightest from the startup world. Stay tuned for our next episode, featuring another startup executive. I'm your co-host, Jeff Benchek from Layton, and I look forward to talking to you soon. Take care.
You've been listening to the Startup Growth Engine. Keep connected with us by subscribing to our show in your favorite podcast player. If you like what you've heard, please rate the show. That helps us to deliver business tips and best practices from startup experts. Thanks for listening. Until next time.